with me this morning to the Gospel of John. If you read through the Gospels carefully, you will find that Jesus says some things that are difficult to understand. There were times, as we said last Sunday, that even his own disciples did not understand what he was talking about. In this series, we're looking at some of the hard sayings of Jesus, because if God put them in the Bible, then they are important. And it's important for us to study them and to try to understand them. The hard saying of Jesus that we're going to look at this morning is found here in the Gospel of John. And we're calling it this morning, "Can anyone believe?" That's an important question. Can anyone, can any person that wants to come to faith in Jesus, can they receive forgiveness for their sin? Can they find acceptance into the family of God? There are groups around the world that teach that you have to belong to their group or you won't go to heaven. Years ago, Mary and I were ministering in the Philippines, and we began to notice churches around the greater Manila area that all looked exactly the same. And I asked one of the missionaries about it, and he said, "Well, that's a particular group, and their teaching is that not only do you have to believe what they believe to go to heaven, but when Jesus comes, if you're not inside the church building, you're not going to heaven because the whole building is going to go up." Well, there are people who teach things like that. There are groups that teach things like that. There are groups that teach that the only way for you to get to heaven is to keep their set of rules, what they say is right, and if you don't keep those rules, then you will not go to heaven. Well, what did Jesus say about this rather important topic? Turn to John chapter 12 with me this morning. We're going to read just two verses to begin with. We'll go back and pick up a few other verses, but look at verse 39. John chapter 12, "Therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, 'He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them.'" Now, if you just read those two verses, it sounds like there are people who cannot believe in Jesus because God, listen, God has blinded their eyes and God has hardened their hearts, so they cannot believe. It sounds as if God has gone to great lengths so these people cannot receive Jesus. But you say, "Well, Pastor, isn't the gospel for everyone?" Well, let's look at these two verses this morning, this hard saying of Jesus, and see what we can learn. And I want to begin with the general setting of the verse. If you follow John's gospel, you will see that he begins to tell the story of Jesus from his birth all the way to his death. Now, of all the gospel writers, John does not spend very much time on the birth of Jesus. He left that to the other gospel writers. In fact, if you go back to chapter 1, here is what John says about the birth of Jesus: "The Word became flesh." That's all John says about the great Christmas story. Have you noticed that when we have Christmas programs in December, we almost never quote from John chapter 1? That's because there's nothing there. The Word became flesh. That's John's story of the incarnation. And then, immediately after that, in chapter 1, he jumps right into the life of Jesus, and he zooms right to the 30th year of Jesus. He doesn't tell us about year 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He just goes from the Word became flesh, and here's 30 years later. There's a huge vacuum in John chapter 1 when it comes to the ages of Jesus. And then he begins to take us through the ministry of Jesus, his ministry in Galilee, his ministry in Samaria, his ministry in Judea. And he tells us about the miracles of Jesus. And he tells us about the teaching of Jesus. And he tells us how Jesus interacted with people. But he also tells us about the opposition that Jesus had from the religious leaders in Israel. And when you get to chapter 13, Jesus is in Jerusalem celebrating the last Passover. Now, John has 21 chapters in this gospel. He spends chapters 1 through 12 on his life and ministry, and 13 through 21 on the last days of his life. Now, our text is chapter 12. What I read to you occurs just after the triumphal entry when Jesus comes into Jerusalem and just before the Passover celebration in chapter 13. You remember when Jesus came into Jerusalem, great crowds of people began to hail him as the King of the Jews. Now, one of the really difficult parts about the ministry of Jesus, if you've ever thought about it, is the crowds. Because John, for example, presents the crowds as both loving Jesus and rejecting Jesus. How do you reconcile those two things? Wherever Jesus went, and John, I looked this up yesterday, over and over and over again in the first 12 chapters, John says, and the crowds followed him. Great multitudes of people followed him. Here in chapter 12, if you go back to verses 12 and following, the crowds are proclaiming him to be the King of Israel. And then we get to verse 37, and it says, but although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe. Now, in the original language, it's even stronger than that. One writer said that the way the original language expresses verse 37 is it indicates there was a constant and progressive unwillingness to believe. There was almost, by the time Jesus was crucified, there was almost in Israel a universal rejection of Jesus as their Messiah. So how do we explain the crowds following Jesus and proclaiming him as the King? Well, some people followed Jesus because he fed them. They were hungry. Some people followed him to be healed. The medical care in that day was rather primitive. Jesus, for many people, was their last hope. He was their last resort. Some people followed him out of curiosity. They wanted to see what he would do next. Some people followed him hoping that he would overthrow the Romans. They were tired of living in subjection to a foreign power. Excuse me one second. We got some feedback here. I had muted the people who were on the telephone, but somehow they got unmuted. So folks, sorry, I just muted you. We could hear your conversations in your house. So we just took care of it. Thank you for that note. There were people who followed Jesus because they were hungry. There were people who followed Jesus because they wanted to be healed. There were people who followed Jesus because they wanted him to overthrow the Roman government. There were people who followed Jesus because they were intrigued by this teacher who was saying things that no one else in Israel was saying. And there were some, a few, who followed Jesus because they had come to believe that he was the Messiah. But many people, in fact, it seems that most people followed Jesus for their own selfish reasons. Even those who proclaimed him as King of Israel at the triumphal entry may have had less than godly reasons for crying out, "Hail the King of the Jews." It's clear from the statement in verse 37 that at the end of his life, there were few who stood with him. There were few who stood at the cross. And that was the situation when he said in verse 39, therefore they could not believe. Well, I want to look closer then at the specific setting of that statement. Who was Jesus specifically talking about? Was this statement, does it apply to all of us today? Or does it apply to the people who were around him at that point in time? And this is where you have to look very carefully now at the specific setting of the passage. And I want to pick up the reading back in verse 27. Follow along in your Bible. Jesus is speaking to the crowds. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Should I say, Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose, for the purpose of dying, I came to this hour. Therefore, Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Therefore, the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, no, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out, speaking of Satan. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. This, he said, signifying by what death he would die. The people answered him, we have heard from the law that the Christ, that's the Messiah, remains forever. How can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said to them, a little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, now he's speaking of himself. He had called himself the light of the world. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. These things Isaiah said when he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Now, I want you to see three things from this extended passage. The first is the purpose of Jesus. These are among the last words that Jesus spoke to the crowds, to the multitudes. When you get to chapter 13, he begins to speak only to his disciples until he's on the cross. Here we are almost at the end of chapter 12. These are his last words publicly. And so what he says is important. It's like his final words to the crowds who were following him. And what he says to them, if I could summarize all that we just read, what he said to them is, I came to give my life. Look at verse 27. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour for this purpose. What purpose? To die. To give his life. For this purpose I came to this hour. Look at verse 32. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. This he said, signifying by what death he would die. Jesus' purpose in coming to the earth was to die so that you and I can live. That was something the crowds didn't expect. And so the second thing I want you to see is the response of the people. And you can see it in verse 34. The people answered him, we have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? The questions were not asked out of ignorance, as if they didn't know who Jesus was talking about. They knew that Jesus, throughout his ministry, had claimed the messianic title, the Son of Man. They knew by that he was claiming to be the Messiah. In the four Gospels, that title appears over 80 times, and every time except one, it comes from the lips of Jesus. Here in verse 32, when the people asked, who is the Son, or verse 34, when they asked, who is the Son of Man, that is the only time that title is used apart from Jesus speaking it of himself. Over and over again, Jesus claimed the title, the Son of Man. What was he saying? He was saying, I am the Messiah. I'm the one you've been waiting for. I'm the one who can save you. He had just used it in the same chapter. Look back at verse 23. But Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. There was no mistake in their minds as to who Jesus was talking about. And yet the crowd's response was, who is the Son of Man? It wasn't a question seeking the identity of the Son of Man. It was a question refuting the Son of Man. Jesus had just said, I will be lifted up. They understood that to mean the cross. They understood that to mean he was saying he had to die. And they said, hey, wait a minute. We've been taught that the Son of Man is eternal. He won't die. Now, their questions imply one of two things. Either you aren't the Son of Man and you won't die, or you aren't the Messiah. And I think that was true. Look at verse 37 again. Although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him. The apostle began this gospel back in chapter 1 by telling us that the people would not believe in Jesus. Do you remember John 1:11? He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He came to his own people, to the Jewish people. He came doing miracles. He came teaching the truth. He came living an exemplary life, but they did not believe. And John warned us at the very beginning they would not believe.